God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and today I want to bring you good tidings of great joy. Papa, we love you and your son so much and bow our hearts before you for your great love and tenderness towards your beloved sons and daughters through the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I want to share with you Luke chapters 1 and 2, the birth of Jesus Christ, which is good tidings of great joy. And I always found it interesting that Luke was not one of the apostles. You may look them up. He was the physician who traveled with Paul through the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, he also wrote the book of Acts. And in verse 3, Luke addresses this gospel to most excellent Theophilus. In the book of Acts, he calls them O Theophilus. Theo means God, and Phileo means friend. So he addresses Luke to friends of God. Friends of God. Luke had gotten to that position where he was past the religiosity, and somehow, some way, even back in the first century church, he found the tenderness, the heart-to-heart relationship, the friendship, the yada, the intimacy with God. And I'm going to share some of his intimacy with you today. We'll pick it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, the priest line. Her name was Elizabeth, and we're going to find out she's Mary's cousin. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Can you imagine? Verse 7, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot, or what his job that day was, to burn incense. Remember, incense is the prayer altar, the prayer offering. The brazen altar where the prayers go up, the golden altar where the prayers go up to Yahweh. His job that day was to burn the incense, made only for God, when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Coincidence? I don't think so. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And look at this, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Wow, what a promise. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. Of course, this is speaking of John the Baptist, verse 17, and he shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Who introduced the Messiah to the people? John. He's the one who pointed out, this is the one we've been waiting for. Verse 18. And old Zacharias said to the angel, where shall I know this? for I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. There's a whole class in that sentence, the law of believing. But that's for another time. Verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias because he was in there a long time and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Verse 22, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration in the temple were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, this very old woman who was past childbearing, and hid herself 5 months. You know, she didn't want to do anything to upset the apple cart. Verse 25, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Hasn't God done that for so many of us? Verse 26. And now we change gears. And in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, again of the house of David, the royal line. And the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Believing 101, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. Verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary would be the mother, God is the Father, supplying everything needed to make that perfect child, Jesus. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What do you think that did to Mary's faith, her trust? Verse 38, And Mary said, Behold, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39, And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Remember, this is John the Baptist who had Holy Spirit in the womb. And Elizabeth herself was filled with Holy Spirit. She began to manifest the Spirit in a prophetic word, verse 42. And Elizabeth spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord, Messiah, should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed," talking about Mary, "for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and the Spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth," this is Mary talking about herself, "all generations shall call me blessed," and don't we? "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on them that respect, love him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her, Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her own house. I really hope you take the time just to reread this section and see the chess pieces fall into place and how God had everything so perfectly planned, from Zacharias doing the prayers of incense, having his own prayer answered, Elizabeth, who was barren, Mary's cousin, walks in and can plainly see that she's 6 months pregnant, and how they both had the Spirit upon them to the end that they prophesied and comforted each other and built each other up and built their trust in the Lord. Luke 1:57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and of course she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they did rejoice with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, not so. He shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, because he was deaf and dumb at this point, how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote his name, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And they were sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard him laid them up in their hearts, these sayings, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, he was filled with Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. Boy, there's a lot of believers in this crowd. Verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, calling things that be not as though they are." Verse 69, "And has raised up an horn of salvation." A horn always stands for the strength, the might. A horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Do you know these words are just as true today as when Zechariah spoke them over 2,000 years ago? That we should be saved from the hand of our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Are we not all children of Abraham by spirit? Yes, we are. Verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. I take that promise to the bank. 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, his plan, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Verse 78, one of the most beautiful passages of scripture ever written. Through the tender mercy of our God, wherefore, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Another translation of that phrase is to guide our feet into the way of our true destiny. Verse 80, and the child grew, this is John the Baptist, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of David. In the Hebrew, the word Beth means house, and Lehem means bread, house of bread. The bread of life would be born in the city of bread, Bethlehem. Verse 5, to be taxed. He went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So much in that verse, Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Put yourself in the shepherd's shoes. You're out here in this beautiful night. It's just become just after sunset. And all of a sudden appear these angels in this glory in the sky. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, what shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Couldn't be more specific than that. And the whole swaddling process only lasted about 3 minutes. They took a baby and they wrapped it, who was going to become a king or a prince, and wrapped them in pure linen that had been soaked in salt and dried, and they wrapped him up like we would call swaddling a baby today in a little blanket. And it was they only did it for a short period of time, and the angels told them exactly what they were going to find. Verse 13. But before they sent them on their way, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, thousands of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, peace, goodwill toward men. This is what Jesus came to bring everybody whose heart is open to receive him. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Whew! Boy, I'd love to have had a video of that night. And the shepherds said one to another, let us go now. Smart shepherds. You know, they could have sat back and said, no, we've got to watch our flock all night. They were smart enough that when they got a word from the Lord, they acted immediately. Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem. And let us see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Boy, these shepherds got it. They got the memo. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They ran around the whole town saying the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were being told them by the shepherds. I love this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Because that's the way God rolls. He tells you, and it will come to pass if you listen exactly the way he tells you. He may not show you the whole picture. He'll give you one step at a time, but it will come to pass exactly according to the word of the Lord. I could do 6 months on these two chapters because they're loaded with the manifestations of the Spirit, the law of believing, obedience, signs, miracles, wonders. Every phrase is like boom, powerful. Verse 21, and again, when 8 days, because that was the best day to circumcise a male child with the least pain and the quickest healing, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was not called Joseph, it was called Jesus. Jehovah saves. God is our salvation, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived, remember, in a virgin's womb. 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Are you seeing a thread in common with all these people that are involved in this? These are people that are friends of God. They love God. They are devout people. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, the comforting of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. This Messiah that had been promised for thousands of years. hundreds of records of him coming in the Old Testament. God had specifically promised Simeon that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Messiah. What a promise. Christ is just the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Again, he could have been at home brewing up a pot of tea. And he came by the Spirit, prompted by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he, Simeon, him up in his arms and blessed God. He blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. Oh my goodness, how moving. A light to lighten the Gentiles. There we are, given the mystery right there in Luke chapter 2. And the glory of thy people Israel, the one body. One phrase, there it is, the mystery. Jews and Gentiles. Jesus came for both, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Remember how Jesus sifted the people in Israel who were against him, who were for him? And do you not believe Mary's heart was pierced with a sword when she came to the foot of the cross and saw her beautiful son, the Passover lamb, bloodied and beaten before she had the blessing of seeing him in his resurrected body? Man, look at this prophecy. And right about that time, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age. She was about 101 or 102 and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. You put all that together, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And we know the true fast of the Lord doesn't contain food. It contains being non-judgmental, the putting away the pointing of the finger and leading people in the paths gently leading home, it says in Isaiah. Man, this is almost too much. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant, boom, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned, Mary and Joseph, into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Now remember, they left and went to Egypt for several years before God brought them back to Nazareth because they had to wait for the death of this King Herod. And during all this time, before they came back, because in the next verse, Jesus is going to be about 12 years old. And all that time from birth to 12, it says in verse 40, and Jesus, the child, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Big time. Are these passages not good tidings of great joy? Do these passages not just make your heart sing? And every time I read these passages, I know in my heart it exercises my trust in my Father, because these same miracles, this same kind of miraculous lifestyle is available to every friend of God, every child of God, everyone who loves God with their whole heart. Gospel means good news, good tidings of great joy for all the people. And you know, it makes God our Father, our best friend, so very, very happy. When we are happy, when we are filled with the joy of the Lord, our joy is His joy. What a way to live. And the only way you can improve upon this lifestyle is to go out and give it. Give it away. Give it to other people. And as you give it, you will find your own multiplied back to you. Our job is to take this message of love and hope to every friend, every neighbor, every checkout person, every waitress, every boss, every nation, to go tell it on the mountain. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. There has come unto you a Savior in all the world. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, good will toward men, for our Savior has come. Our Savior has come. Our Savior has come. Papa, we come before you in joy and thanksgiving for the gift of life. In Hebrew, l'chaim, l'chaim, the gift of life. And yes, Papa, the world looks at this as primarily eternal life, but we know different. You came to give us life to the fullest every single day. Every day is a joy with you. No matter what lays before us, you live within us. L'chaim, to life with Father, to life with God, to life with our brother Jesus Christ. In His name, we praise you, we love you, we worship you. We take this time to appreciate that Jesus is the reason for every season. In His holy name of your blessed Messiah, we praise you, we thank you, we worship you. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. So let it be.